A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host for this journey into issues facing the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues these organizations are facing. We'll look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Today, we'll catch up with the National Youth Orchestra of the USA, which is in the middle of its fifth summer. Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute recently announced that next year it will expand the program to include a jazz component, and I'll speak with Doug Beck, the Institute's Director of Training Programs, about that plan. We'll also hear from two of the young musicians who are participating in this year's orchestras. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Osmo Venska has agreed to continue as music director of the Minnesota Orchestra for an additional 2 years, extending his contract through the end of the 2020-2021 season. Venska, who took on the position in 2003, has led the orchestra in a Sibelius cycle that included recordings of all the symphonies on the BIS label. He was an outspoken supporter of the orchestra musicians during the 15-month lockout sparked by a labor dispute with management that ended in February 2015. The Minnesota Orchestra also announced this week that both Sarah Hicks, principal conductor of the Live at Orchestra Hall series, and Kevin Putz, director of the Minnesota Orchestra Composer Institute, have extended their agreements. Hicks, who joined the orchestra in 2006 and was the first woman to hold a titled conducting position with the orchestra, leads the orchestra in pop-style concerts that include popular music, jazz, Broadway classics, and world music. She will remain in the position through the 2020-21 season. In addition to other professional orchestras, she previously had served as conductor of the Westminster Community Orchestra of Westminster Choir College. Putz, who won the 2012 Pulitzer Prize for Music, has led the Composer Institute since 2014, providing training and mentorship to emerging composers. He has committed to remaining with the Institute through the end of the 2020 season. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. When Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute launched the National Youth Orchestra of the USA in 2013, the program opened up a new opportunity for young musicians ages 16 to 19 across the country. They get to rehearse and perform challenging orchestral repertoire with fellow highly talented students on the campus of SUNY Purchase, receive feedback and training from professionals from top U.S. orchestras, and perform under the direction of an acclaimed conductor. They perform at Carnegie Hall and on tour, either across the U.S. or abroad. In an effort to create additional opportunities for students from communities or backgrounds with less access to traditional classical music programs, the Institute last year launched NYO2 for students ages 14 to 17 in partnership with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Along with the SUNY Purchase residency, the students of NYO2 perform in Philadelphia, and this year will celebrate their Carnegie Hall debut. This year, the students began arriving at SUNY earlier this month. They will be conducted by Baltimore Symphony Orchestra music director Maren Alsop and embark on the orchestra's first Latin American tour. NYO2 will perform under the baton of Giancarlo Guerrero, music director of the Nashville Symphony. Symphonic orchestras, though, are only part of the equation of high school music programs, and the Weill Music Institute has announced that it will introduce NYO Jazz beginning next year. Douglas Beck is director of artist training programs at the Weill Music Institute. I spoke with him about the jazz initiative and what students in this year's NYO USA and NYO 2 are working on this year.
It takes a somewhat different, you know, specific direction when you're talking about a jazz program and you're talking about, you know, something like improvisation as a skill that you want to develop in young musicians. And although we have had improvisation workshops as a kind of adjunct to the larger experience that the classical orchestras go through, it's much less a part of the core skill set that you need as a classical musician. But we imagine bringing in a similar type of faculty, people who are both educators and performers at a very high level, to work as coaches with the members of the jazz program. There's a similar question of building an ensemble and developing an ensemble sound, as well as working, you know, sort of section by section on different technical issues and just the development of new repertoire. And I think we are also very interested, to the extent that the schedules will overlap, and it'll probably be a little bit different from year to year, in finding ways for the two groups of musicians, the classical musicians who are there for the orchestra programs and the jazz musicians who are there for NYO Jazz, to collaborate and work together and make music together and probably share in some of the kind of non-musical activities that we plan. It's looking, because of the respective tours, like the overlap may only be for a week next year. So we'll have to see how that maps out. But I think by and large, the experience is parallel, but, you know, tailored to the particulars of working in a different genre and what that means pedagogically and just repertoire-wise.
Regarding the tour, I understand that next year's tour for the new jazz program will be a European tour. How did you decide what was going to be the best venues for that?
Because of the very good relationships we've now developed with some of the major European festivals and concert venues, which are sort of multi-genre festivals, I think we have the opportunity, and we've seen some strong interest for them to be inviting NYO Jazz. But we also want to include, you know, some quote-unquote pure jazz festivals, so that the young musicians have the experience of really being in that environment and being presented, you know, purely alongside their peers in the world of jazz. So I think it'll be a combination of those two things. And Europe, I mean, we chose Europe for the first year as, broadly speaking, the destination, because there really is so much festival activity there in the summer. And there's a really, you know, rich tradition of jazz festivals in Europe through the summertime also. So it seemed to be a good way to launch things. We've also, I think, taken the approach that we get twice as much bang for our buck in terms of the cultural exchange opportunities of these programs by being in different parts of the world. So we already knew that NYO USA would be going to Asia. So we're pretty much encircling the globe with our programs next summer.
I'm also curious about the size of the ensemble. Traditionally, mm-hmm. jazz ensembles are a little are smaller and certainly can have varying composition
right.
in terms of instruments. How are you approaching that to, on the one hand, you know, be a standard jazz orchestra, but then also have, you know, ensure opportunities for a varied group of students?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question, and I don't think we have made a fixed determination of what the size or makeup of the band will be. I mean, we definitely see it as a large big band, and, you know, there are some variations in what a big band can be. But we're expecting between about 20 and 25 players in all to be invited. I think one of the things we are saying is that if you are a woodwind specialist as opposed to a saxophone player who doubles very well on clarinet, you are welcome to apply. And if we feel there's a super interesting jazz clarinet player and that's his or her, you know, main instrument, that we would then make the determination, yeah, this is someone who would fit in well and would bring something to the band, and we would, you know, look for some charts to be sure we would include, you know, that person. There really isn't a possibility of doubling in jazz in the way there is with an orchestra. You can kind of not infinitely expand a string section or even with woodwind parts, you can double many of them in a lot of music. So I think the opportunities one has, and it's typical of a lot of high school programs, is that you rotate in your jazz section players. So you've got two drummers who are sort of sharing a program. So we're looking to make the orchestra, the jazz band, as large as is practical and consistent with the underlying nature of the material and the charts we have available. But as a full group, it will kind of be a big band, you know, plus, if you will. We definitely have already talked with Sean Jones about opportunities for, you know, combos from within the larger group to perform formally or informally, definitely informally, you know, around the time they're at purchase, but conceivably, and I think we hope, you know, quite possibly on tour as well, because, you know, so much of the tradition in jazz performance is about performing in smaller venues, in clubs, in smaller combos. And I think, you know, if we're in one of the major, you know, European festival concert halls with, you know, 2,000-4,000 people in a big venue, that's a thrilling and exciting experience. But if that were the only experience that these young people had as aspiring jazz musicians, that would be, I think, an incomplete and to some extent a slightly unrepresentative window into, you know, the professional performance world, which is one of the things we are trying to give through these programs. So I think we're hoping there will be a combination of opportunities, quite literally. And, you know, it's a little too early to know exactly how that will play out, but it's something we are thinking about from this stage already.
You mentioned Sean Jones as the artistic advisor and also director. What do you see him bringing to the program?
Number one, he's just an amazing player and musician. And I think sort of hand in hand with that, he is a wonderful educator. And I have colleagues who have worked much more extensively with him. But even from the, you know, few months of planning that have led up to the announcement and since it's clear that he just has a wonderful rapport with young people, a super sort of inclusive view of what the jazz band as America's orchestra can be artistically that is really exciting to us. He really brings, you know, each of the ingredients you would want to have, you know, just a superb musician who is an incredible role model, just, you know, for what he can do with the trumpet. He's a wonderful composer, he's a wonderful educator, and he's a great band leader. So I think we feel, you know, really lucky to have him involved in bringing this to life with us, and are just really excited about it. I think all of the young people who come into contact with him are just really feel a connection that's exciting to see, and we're sure it's going to be the same with the NYO Jazz Kids next summer.
Well, the NYO program has also had an expanding number of apprenticeships attached to it. Do you see some apprentice opportunities with NYO Jazz?
That's a good question, and it was something we talked about in our very first planning meeting with Sean. I think we do. We didn't have any apprentices the first year of NYO USA, and we sort of gradually added. I think there's a particular opportunity around a sort of composer-arranger opportunity for a young person, because that's such a big part of what happens in the world of jazz and what makes individual artists and bands, you know, distinctive is, in some extent, what kinds of charts they have access to and seek out and create through work with skilled arrangers. But I think, you know, really, as with the orchestra programs, any of the roles that go into supporting musicians would be, you know, of interest. I had a really lovely note from a violinist in the first year of the National Youth Orchestra, who's also a saxophone player and has now entered as a full-time jazz performance student. And he read about this and basically said, can I come intern with NYO Jazz next summer? Because this is the sort of the fulfillment of the sort of dreams I've had as a musician, and it sort of would allow him to come full circle. Whether we can create that internship, I don't know, but it definitely speaks to the sort of interconnectedness of all of these opportunities.
Well, turning to this year's upcoming program for both NYO and NYO2, what's the overall program for this year?
One of the things that's a little bit different this year is that they will really run in parallel for the entirety of the respective residencies at Purchase. And we've built in more activity for the two sets of musicians really to be doing together jointly. We've created a workshop strand, which we're calling Artists in Community, which is a set of three workshops that will give these young people some tools to think about their identity as musicians, how they can take the skills and interests they have, you know, musically and artistically, and connect those skills to any number of communities that they may be part of and, you know, serve and connect with folks in a variety of ways as young musicians, and just kind of expand their vision of what it means to be a musician and the different paths that they might be able to take. We'll bring in a range of sort of guest artists who are doing interesting work in a variety of settings, and they'll also be developing, you know, some creative work together in this workshop strand. So that's something that they will do as a single community of young musicians. We've also scheduled or planned a strand of chamber music, literally 32 ensembles, each comprised of musicians from both NYU USA and NYU2, who will get the chance to collaborate on a smaller scale together, get some coaching, and will, quite informally, but nonetheless, I'm sure, you know, a lot of fun for them, have the chance to do a kind of chamber music marathon concert at the end of the second week of Purchase. The next day, they will be together for an event in New York City, which is a big NYO and NYC side-by-side day, where we're inviting young musicians, not just from New York, but really from the sort of tri-state area, to come and join NYO and NYO2 musicians at a space called 583 Park Avenue, which is a converted church with a floor that will accommodate about 300 to 350 musicians at a time. It's got a big pipe organ. So we're going to do two segments of activity in the morning. We've chosen some repertoire that's, I guess, a little bit more at what you would call the intermediate level, so that it can involve some musicians who are not quite as far along in their experience. And then after lunch, we'll do a more sort of advanced segment. Each of those will be about 90 minutes, culminating in a sort of informal performance of the 20 or so minutes of music that they'll have been rehearsing. NYO2 will make its debut at Carnegie Hall this year. We're doing two concerts instead of just one. We've also invited Esperanza Spalding to be the guest artist with NYO2, which is something I think they're all particularly excited about. They'll play first down at the Kimmel Center in Philadelphia, and then here at Carnegie Hall. We're again partnering with the Philadelphia Orchestra, so they're providing a corps of coaches as well as about 40 members of the orchestra who will be joining in the side-by-side performance with NYO2 in both cases.
This will mark the NYO's first Latin American tour. What's the excitement over that, and having Maren Alsop as your director, as your conductor as well?
Yeah, I mean, we're really delighted that Maren Alsop is conducting this year. She has a wonderful history with WMI of doing a number of really successful projects over the years, including the Summer Project and the production of West Side Story. She's conducting NYO this year. The First Symphony of Mahler is the big work on our main program. We've also commissioned a piece from Gabriella Lina Frank called Apu, a tone poem for orchestra. Apu is a mountain spirit in, I think, Peruvian folklore, and a kind of inspiration, as with many of her pieces, certain Latin American folk traditions play a role in inspiring or, in some cases, providing thematic material. And it was one of the reasons, knowing we were going to Latin America, we invited her to write the new piece for NYU USA this year. And we are going for the first time to that part of the world. We start in Guadalajara, then we travel to Quito in Ecuador, and then conclude in Bogota in Colombia. The thing that is most unusual and exciting about this tour compared with previous ones is that we are staying for a longer period in each of the cities. We aren't going to quite as many cities, but in both Guadalajara and Bogota, we are adding a second concert with a completely different program and having a contingent of young musicians from youth orchestra programs in those two cities join us. So we will be giving really a joint concert with young musicians in Guadalajara from the Guadalajara Youth Orchestra. And in Bogota, it's actually musicians from two different programs, some from the Batuta National Program, which is a very much system-based model that is successful, and I think tens of thousands of young people in Colombia are involved in, as well as with the Bogota Youth Philharmonic. So I think that's a real extension of work that we've done somewhat less intensively in the past, of really creating peer exchange, you know, peer music making. It will have several days of rehearsals and the chance to, I think, really meet and develop relationships with the young musicians who'll be joining us in these joint concerts. And, you know, I think we're all really excited about taking that work a step further in this kind of tour context.
That was Douglas Beck, Director of Artist Training Programs at Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute. David Kim is a cello player from East Brunswick, New Jersey, and is heading into his sophomore year at Princeton University. He's also in his third year with NYU USA, and I spoke with him recently about his experiences with the program.
It was an extremely life-changing experience, I have to say. I think one of the most notable parts of this is that, I mean, there is no tuition, so it's really just one of the music programs that are extremely accessible to anyone, like, no matter what their income is. And, like, other summer festivals tend to be a couple of thousand dollars just for tuition and board. And I mean, beyond that, besides, like, working with, like, amazing guest artists and faculty from world-class orchestras around the country, it culminates in kind of this, like, really high-energy tour. Like, so I've also, that was the second time I've ever left the country, which was in China in 2015, and then it was my first time in Europe last year. Now I'm going to go to South America for the first time. All in all, just like a very exciting summer to have.
Well, now you mentioned it was life-changing, and all of those things sound like that could do it. But in terms of the way you look at music and possibly your future, has it changed that as well?
I didn't ever really plan on going into music after high school, so it didn't change it in that sense. I'm going to be a sophomore next year in Princeton, so I'm not actually pursuing any music-related academics, but I'm still participating in sort of like music ensembles, like chamber groups and the orchestra on campus. But it really did give me like a great insight into, I guess, the lives of like what it would be like if I were to pursue music as a career, because I would say around half the kids here, or maybe a little less than half, end up going to music conservatories like Juilliard or Curtis or New England Conservatory. So I kind of have like a newfound like respect for that, although I won't be pursuing that. I mean, I love the cello, but I feel like the pressure of being a music major and going out in the world and trying to share that passion with others, that it's a little frightening for me personally.
So what are some of the things, though, that you enjoy about the playing and the performance part?
Because it's sort of like a nationwide orchestra, it's obviously like some of the best non-conservatory students sort of all being in this one orchestra together, and having such a high quality orchestra kind of pushes you past, I guess, like a limit and makes you more attentive to listening to other parts of the orchestra. Rehearsals are also quite different because a lot of the times in other youth orchestras, some of the time is spent kind of like learning the notes or like trying to like, I guess, be like more of a like a cohesive unit within the orchestra. But during rehearsals at NYO, we can kind of go into more detail, I feel. So it feels more like a professional orchestra, and we kind of have the responsibilities of professional orchestra, just like having to show up on time for rehearsals. No one's really kind of like pushing us or like watching over us. Kind of, we put the responsibility on ourselves rather than expect, I guess, an administration to handle things for us.
And as far as this year, what are you enjoying most about it, and what are you looking forward to in terms of performing with Marin Alsop?
Probably the number one reason I come back is because the beginning rehearsals, I mean, the first rehearsals are just very, very exciting. Especially because, I mean, we've had this music for, I guess, 1 or 2 months, and then all the strings have been practicing for their singing auditions, and all the winds and brass have been practicing. So I guess like the first few notes of this like amazing orchestra, and just like how clean everything sounds and how booming it is, And also, I mean, yeah, Marin Alsop, for the past 2 months, I've been listening to, like, her recordings of the pieces that we're playing. And I've seen, like, YouTube videos and, like, watched them on repeat of her just, like, conducting. So I'm just very excited to see her in person and her explain sort of her interpretation of the pieces.
That was cellist and NYO USA member David Kim. I also chatted with Parker Jones, a French horn player from Bergenfield, New Jersey, who will be a freshman at Princeton this year. She said she was excited to return for a second year of NYO2, mainly because of the people she met last year.
Besides, like, just the other members of the orchestra, the coaches that I was able to work with, they just all the advice that they had to offer really helped me grow, and I just wanted to be able to experience that again.
Musically, what do you think you've gotten most out of NYO2?
There's just been so many different things that I've learned through the coaches here, but definitely, like, performing with other people and, like, kind of making orchestra music, not just between an orchestra, but thinking of it more as chamber music and interacting with the other people within the orchestra.
What have the other students been like? What have you enjoyed doing and about performing and just getting to know the other people from around the country?
It's just been great, like, because everybody's from everywhere in the country, and just learning about the similarities and differences between other people my age and how we're all kind of brought together by music, and this musical experience has just been something that's incredible for me.
What made you apply originally the first time around?
I actually heard about it through one of my teachers. My teacher told me about it, and from there I kind of researched and found out about it and thought it'd be a great learning opportunity for me.
Anything in particular that you're looking forward to this year?
Definitely performing at Carnegie Hall. It's an amazing experience to have. So.
Well, you mentioned you're not necessarily going to be majoring in music, but do you think you've gotten things out of this experience that you'll be able to take with you in terms of continuing music in some way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. By the people that they bring in here, I feel like there's many opportunities for me to continue with music, even if it's not something I major in. So I'm definitely going to continue playing and making music a part of my life in college.
That was horn player and NYO2 musician Parker Jones. Some of the upcoming performances of the orchestras include NYO2's Carnegie Hall debut Thursday evening, July 20th, and NYO USA's concert at Carnegie Hall on Friday evening, July 21st. The National Youth Orchestra of China, an independent orchestra inspired by NYO USA, will perform at Carnegie Hall on Saturday evening under the direction of Ludovic Morlot. There will also be a pop-up concert in Times Square Saturday, July 22nd at 1 p.m., conducted by Maestro Alsop and featuring select members of both NYO USA and NYO 2, as well as music teachers from around the country. More information on these performances and all the NYO programs are available at carnegiehall.org/NYOUSA. I hope you enjoy these conversations I bring you each week on A Tempo, as well as all the other award-winning programs on the Classical Network. But remember, these programs are possible only when listeners like you support this station. You can become a member of the Classical Network anytime by going to wwfm.org and clicking on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.